Good morning. Welcome to Pierce Point Community Church. My name is Dylan, and I am one of your deacons here, as well as your youth leader. Welcome to our time of devotional, or as I like to call it, Devo. We have been working through the last several weeks talking about what we believe as a church. Barney did a very good job last week talking about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit in regards to deity and the conviction that the Holy Spirit brings. I have been tasked with talking about the work, the person and the work of the Holy Spirit in regards to regeneration and sanctification, and I will try not to take the entire time. And when I say entire time, I mean his sermon as well. All right, let's hop into this. And first, I'm going to start out by just reading what we believe off of our website when it comes to the personal work of the Holy Spirit, and then we'll be tackling a few things here. The indwelling and the sealing of believers, baptism of believers into the body of Christ, and then this concept of sanctification and regeneration that the Spirit has for us. Our statement says, the person and work of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Holy Spirit is the divine person possessing all the attributes of deity, and that in essence, he is equally God. We believe that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and that he is a supernatural agent in regeneration and sanctification, baptizing all believers into the body of Christ, indwelling equally and permanently every believer, and sealing them unto the day of redemption. We believe that every unregenerated person, the moment they exercise faith in Christ as Savior, immediately possesses the Holy Spirit. We believe that he is the divine teacher who guides believers into all truth, that he sovereignly bestows a spiritual gift to each believer, and that it is the privilege and duty of all the saved to be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to tackle these in a different order, just because the idea of sanctification and regeneration will take the longest to kind of talk about. So, the indwelling and sealing of believers. So, according to the Webster's Dictionary, the word seal means to confirm, authenticate, or guarantee, or to pledge. We believe as a church, and I'll read out of Ephesians 1:13-14 here in a moment, but we believe that when you make a confession of faith, when you trust in the Savior, he comes to be with you, and that is a seal upon you. Now, I work in the trucking industry, so when I think of the word seal, I think of when you're moving full truckload freight, you've got to put a seal once that back door is closed, and you can't touch that seal until it gets to where it's supposed to go. If that seal is broken, you're in big trouble because they can't trust that the product was not messed with. But in this regards, a seal is, think of, my wife used to have this friend that she would send like Christmas cards and stuff, but when she would do this like wax thing and like put a kind of a seal, right? And we would always know the moment we got a letter. We didn't have to read who it was from. We knew when we saw that seal, because it was a seal that she'd made for her family, that this letter was from her. It belonged to her. In the same way, the Spirit, he is that seal upon you, that you belong to him. And it's a promise to you of the inheritance that will be yours, right? So think of this as obviously not literally, but metaphorically, you know, it's like God takes a really intricate stamp and goes, bam, right in your forehead and says, they're mine. And not only does it let other people know, these are my people, but it lets you know that you're sealed in his promise, right? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13-14 says, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Now, there is a question when it comes to this idea of the Holy Spirit and the seal and all these things, is when do you receive this Holy Spirit? Based off what Paul's saying here and what we believe, the moment that you have believed in this gospel of truth that's given to you. It's not a separate thing. It is a, you believe, and here is the seal upon you that is my Spirit that, you know, you believe. We also see this in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So repent, turn away from the old life, come to believe in this new life, and you'll receive this gift. He doesn't say, hey, repent, and then wait 3 to 6 business days, and then, you know, it'll be delivered at some point. He doesn't say that. Indwelling, we believe that the Spirit dwells in you, based off what Scripture says. And there's a few scriptures here. Romans 8 and 9 actually says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, they do not belong to Christ. So if you belong to Christ, if you've said yes to Him, if you've trusted in Him, we believe, based off these scriptures, that He dwells in you. In you. You know, He takes your spirit and He becomes a part of you, right? We also see this concept in 1 Corinthians here. It says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, that moves us into this idea of baptism of believers into the body of Christ. Now, when we all think of baptism, we instantly think of I shouldn't say taking a bath, but if that's where that's, you know, the dunking and the coming up. And it really depends on what you mean when you say baptism here. You can think of the actual water baptism, but there's more to it than that. It could just mean bringing them into the body of Christ, which is a work of the Spirit. And that's when we'll get into regeneration and being born again and stuff here in a moment. But that is a picture of being brought into this family, right? By His Spirit. So water baptism is obviously important. It's something the Lord instructs us to do. But it's important to notate that it's not something that we have to do for salvation. Just in the same way that the circumcision was a contributing factor to them being a part of God's covenant, baptism is the same thing. It's not a result of salvation, but it's a contributor to it. So it's not this idea of I have to be baptized to be saved. It's just a picture of what the Spirit has already done in you, the work that He's already done, the regeneration that He's already done in you. You are dead to yourself, and you are alive in Christ. It's a physical representation of the work He's already done. We know that for a few reasons, but we actually see Jesus talking to the thief on the cross in Luke 23:43, and He says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And a lot of people quote that scripture because Jesus looks at this man and says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." That man is not getting off that cross to go get baptized. Jesus isn't like, "Hey, John, grab homie and go dunk him really quick." He's not saying that. He looks at him and says, "Because of your faith in me, you'll be with me in paradise." He doesn't say, "Hey, let me sprinkle some water on you." You know, he doesn't call rain down. He just says, "You'll be with me in paradise." So again, water baptism is just a physical representation of something the Spirit has already done in you. He's already brought you into the family. He's already made you new. Now let's talk about the role of regeneration and sanctification within the Spirit. So the word regeneration is, I feel better translated to born again or birth again. I'm not even trying to pronounce that word, but it only appears twice in the English Bible. Both appearances are in the New Testament. It was once by Jesus in Matthew 19:28, and then again by Apostle Paul in Titus 3:5, which we'll read the Titus 3:5 here. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but by according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So, if we look at regeneration as this idea of being born again, it's... Ethan and I had a very long truck ride to pick up a dryer yesterday, and we were talking about this idea of to be born again, you must be first dead, but in what concept are you dead, right? You are dead to rights. You've got a death warrant hanging over your head. This idea of regeneration says the Spirit works in you and says, you were dead, you were in trouble. And he steps in and he pulls that death warrant from over your head and he allows you to walk in freedom. He makes you new. There's this picture that a mentor of mine years ago, Jim Sears, gave me of this, the idea of the Spirit coming to reside in you, and he's making you something new. Before, you were just this fleshly human. You were a sinning fleshly human, and the Spirit comes in you, and he makes you something else. We see a lot of scripture that talks about being a new creation in Christ. It's this idea of you are something new. He's made you something new. So you're able to live a life that's glorifying to him because he empowers you to do so. And that's where we get into sanctification. And this is where Barney did such a great job talking about the Holy Spirit's job in conviction, because that is a huge part of sanctification. Sanctification means to make sacred, cleanse, to purify, or to be set apart. The Holy Spirit's role in convicting us in our walk actually leads to sanctification, if handled properly. I've discipled many people that their reaction to conviction is typically to get mad and turn the other way and just continue to do what they do. But if the Holy Spirit convicts you and you use that to turn the right direction, you start seeing sanctification in your life. Now, you can choose. I don't want you to get me wrong. Sanctification isn't, the Holy Spirit doesn't enter Nathan and then Nathan's eyes rolls in the back of his head and he just does godly things. That's not what's happening. That's not what's happening. It is a conscious decision to be led by the Spirit. So when the Spirit convicts Mark, Mark can choose to continue to do what he's doing or to listen to the Spirit and turn the other way. And that leads to sanctification. It leads to being purified, to be made sacred. It leads to you doing that. Sanctification is a conscious effort. It is not something that just happens, because you can ignore the Spirit just because he resides in you. My wife lives with me, and I don't always listen to her. Sorry. I had to think about if I was going to say that or not. She's not here, so. but she resides with me, and I don't always listen to her, and it's like the Spirit can reside in you, and you can still do the opposite of what it's called you to do, right? Now, why does any of this matter? What does it matter? Why does it matter what the Holy Spirit's job is? What he's trying to do in you? It's important to know what the job of the Holy Spirit is so you know what it's not. He's not a divine butler. He's not, you know, somebody you ring the bell and he just gives you what you want. He's not here to make you warm and fuzzy. I'm not saying he can't, but that's not his sole purpose in life, to make you feel wonderful feelings. He's not here to tell you nice things about yourself. And if you're always hearing nice things about yourself from your Holy Spirit, you may want to check what spirit it is, because I don't know if it's the right one. Because he is not always whispering sweet nothings to me, I promise. Typically, it's like, you should listen to your wife more. He is here to be your helper. He's here to continue to do the work of sanctification in your life and to empower you to serve the kingdom. So it's important that you realize what he is here to do, so you, one, know when it's him instructing you, and you can continue to do what he's here to do. Amen?